This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Senate Ag and Natural Resource Committee. At this time, I'd like to greet the folks that are joining us on the Internet, and I'd also like to welcome all the guests that have taken time to come to this committee meeting this morning. I would remind folks to turn off their cell phone like I just did mine. And the penalty is to provide jerky for the committee for upcoming committee meetings, and I believe there might even be some outstanding debt, I'm not sure, with one of our members. With interest, yes. And at this time, I'd like the pages to come up and introduce themselves.
I'm Carly Shoneman. I'm from Aberdeen, South Dakota, and I'm a senior at Aberdeen Central. And next year, I plan to go to SDSU, double majoring in business, econ, and entrepreneurial studies.
Thank you.
Hello, I am Tyler Arend. I am from Summit, and I am a senior there. And next year, I plan to go to either SDSU or USD and major in political science or economics.
You're trying to please the entire committee on your choice of universities, I see. You've got a future in politics. Okay, at this time, I would ask the secretary to call the roll.
Senators Ewing.
Here.
Monroe.
Here.
Otten.
Here.
Soholt. Youngberg.
Here.
Frerichs.
Here.
Heinert. Kalm.
Here.
Kamak.
Here.
There is a quorum.
We have a quorum. At this time, I would entertain a motion for approval of the minutes. And I have a note. There was one change in the minutes from the evening meeting we had the other day. And it was just making a notation that Matt McCauley was, during that meeting, he was representing the Drury and the Herr family. So that notation has been made in the minutes. It's been moved to approve the minutes with the correction, and the second by Senator Youngberg, by Senator Klum, and second by Senator Youngberg. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The minutes are approved. At this time, I would remind testifiers that if they would please sign in legibly at the podium in the back, and I would also remind testifiers that handouts will be distributed by the pages, and any questions that come before the committee will be addressed through the chair. And at this time, we're going to start with consideration of bills. And because of some different considerations, I would like to move Senate Bill 210 to the top of the agenda with the approval of the committee. Not 210. I'm sorry. That's the wrong one. I'm sorry. I would like to move House Bill 1217 to the top of. I'm sorry about that. And I would also like to announce that we're deferring Senate Bill 210 until next week. So at this time, I will hand the gavel over to my very able Vice Chair.
We'll begin our hearing on House Bill 1217, an act to repeal a provision that prohibits hunting of mourning doves on certain property. Opening for proponent testimony, Senator Kamak. Thank you.
Good morning, committee. My name is Senator Gary Kamak, and what I bring before you today is House Bill 1217. It's to repeal a provision that prohibits hunting of mourning doves on certain properties. And at this time, I would like to yield my time to the prime sponsor in the House, Representative Gosch.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Gosch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and fine members of this board. I appreciate the time here today. This is, I'll give you the same speech I did in the House Ag and Natural Resources. I try to make a rule that never use a speech that's longer than the actual bill itself, but this one is hard because it just takes words away, so I would have to literally say nothing. So I'm going to make it short. 50 yards from the fence that allow a landowner to hunt doves within 50 yards from his right-of-way. Still can't shoot at power lines, still have to shoot the bird in flight, and still can't road hunt. Bottom line, that's about it. I'm going to let Mr. Leif talk about the specifics.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony on 1217. Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Torn Leif. I'm Director of the Wildlife Division for the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. Here this morning in support of House Bill 1217. House Bill 1217 was placed into state statute in the late 70s. It was 1979. That was a time frame when our department was working on reestablishing a dove season in the state. I came to work for the department in the late 80s. And found some documentation that supported that getting additional opportunity to hunt doves was something that took some effort back then. Even found where there were some slide presentations. Obviously, there was an effort put forth to ensure that people could get back out and hunt doves. And it was in actually 1981 when the dove season was reestablished in South Dakota. So I think along the way, as the debate was going along about whether or not we should have a dove season in South Dakota, there were significant concerns about hunting along the road rights of way, shooting doves off of power lines. I think there was that concern manifests itself with the passage of this legislation that codified 41.832.1 that said that nowhere within 50 yards of a road could you shoot a dove. So while this prohibition is well intended for road rights of way, the prohibition also closes a 50-yard buffer zone of land owned in fee title along every improved section line or other public road in the state. Now, while the closed area in the road rights of way is well defined, the closed zones on the private property and in some situations even public land are confusing to hunters and also confusing to landowners that get permission to hunt on their property adjacent to these roads. Now, this is a really important point that I want to make sure all of you catch, and that's that House Bill 1217 will not open up South Dakota to road hunting of mourning doves. It will not do that. It will only open up the 50-yard strip of deeded land next to roads because there is a separate statute. It is 41-9-1.1 that specifically prohibits hunting of mourning doves in a road right-of-way. Also, as Representative Gosch mentioned, there is a separate administrative rule that requires that doves be in flight when they're shot. So even those that would get permission to hunt on private land adjacent to roads could not sit next to those roads and shoot doves off the wires. Those doves have to be in flight. This statute is not needed to restrict road hunting for doves and unnecessarily restricts hunting of private land next to roads. As I wrap up, I just want a word of thanks to Representative Gosch and Senator Kamak for their assistance with this bill. It's a good piece of legislation, and I ask for your favorable support of House Bill 1217.
Thanks, sir. Is there any other proponent testimony? Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony? Okay, well then I would close opponent testimony and open it up for the sponsor to do a final rebuttal, if there's anything. Nothing? Okay, seeing none, is there any committee? I'll close it now for committee discussion or final action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Monroe.
I move House Bill 1217 to the 41st day.
Okay, is there a second? Not seeing a second. Is there any other final action? Senator Ewing?
Did you say that there, due to the fact there was no second, that it died, or
Yes.
Okay, I would make another motion for do pass.
Do pass. Second?
I'll second.
Second. Okay, so a do pass motion by Senator Ewing, seconded by Senator Frerichs. With that, we're do pass motion of the passage of House Bill 1217. Any discussion on the motion? Thank you. Senator Monroe?
Mr. Chairman, I'd implore the committee to resist this motion. And the reason for that is that within 50 yards of my house, people don't know the difference between a mourning dove and a ring-neck dove, African ring-neck, falsely known by others as Asian doves, who don't know the pedigree of this bird, and homing pigeons. So I think this just increases the chance that my birds are going to be out for exercise, and these people don't know the difference. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other further discussion? Senator Ewing?
I think it's a good piece of legislation, and would ask for a do pass on it.
Any other discussion? Senator Otten?
I just have one comment. Since we don't have meandering waters to fight over, is this our next shot at this? I go back long enough to know that we've had it, we've not had it, we've had it, we've not had it. So that's it.
Is there any other testimony or any other discussion? Seeing none, I would ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Senators Ewing.
Aye.
Monroe.
No.
Otten.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Heinert.
Aye.
Klum. Kamak.
Aye.
The vote's unanimous. Or no, one no. Sorry, one excused. So it'd be seven to one.
So House Bill 1217 receiving the 7-1 vote, I declare passed.
We will move on to House Bill 1119. And House Bill 1119 is to revise certain provisions regarding riparian buffer strips. Welcome, Senator Frerichs.
Well, thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and fellow members of the committee. My name's Senator Jason Frerichs. I'm up at Wilmot, Northeast District 1. I'm proud to be the Senate prime sponsor on HB 1119. I want to thank Representative Otten for his work over on the House side, and I also want to thank the conservation districts along with the water development districts for teaming up to bring HB 1119. The issue of voluntary buffer strips really came about in 2016, I believe. Those of us that remember our good friend that is probably down in Arizona right now enjoying warm weather, but former Senator Jim Peterson brought the idea up. And when Jim brought it forward, I was really intrigued by it because it was right the same time when Minnesota was dealing with the implementation of their buffer strip program. And the difference is that Minnesota did a mandatory program, whereas what Senator Peterson brought up, and obviously we remember dealing with that in this committee, his issue was voluntary in terms of the buffer strips, and it really has been met with some awesome excitement from the organizations that believe in this concept. Obviously, we still need to keep doing our work to encourage people to take advantage of the program, but certainly there's interest out there, and what you see in front of you here today is one more opportunity to allow some local control on the issue in terms of allowing the county commissioners to pass a resolution to declare more areas available for the buffer strip program. That was one of the hardest issues to figure out on the bill when it was crafted. In 2017 is when the actual bill was passed, when the governor's office brought forward the legislation that was able to ease their concerns in terms of the revenue side of things. It's just to determine which one should be classified. And so I think we expected a bill like this to have to come forward in the future just to make sure that we didn't miss out on these opportunities and places. And I do have to call attention. Ms. Zoller's got it all prepared, but I just want to call a little bit of attention on the Roberts County, where the arrow is pointing. It actually points almost within about a half a mile of where I live. And so I know this area real well. That's north of Wilmot is a portion of the North Fork of the Whetstone that right now is not included on this. I know we have some landlords that we work with, and they're south of Wilmot and east, and they actually are working to participate in this program. And we farm that land, and so they asked us, there's just a little portion, maybe for about 75 feet, where we did need to move out another about 20 feet just to make sure that we have enough of a buffer. Otherwise, it was already all in place because they redid that portion along the North Fork of the Whetstone. So it's a neat program. Obviously, the point is to try to encourage these voluntary riparian buffer strips along these streams and lakes and other places that are important to have that protection. So, and the other thing on this is it has to be cropland, obviously, is what, and I stand to be corrected, but it seems like that's where you would see much more of the reduction. If it was already pasture or something else, it probably already obviously had a lower property tax value on that. But it also brings up the whole idea that there could be soil types along those riverbanks that are classified as crop ground, and therefore they're still being left in grass, and this gives that benefit. So I ask for your support, and I know there'll be many others that will testify for the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Angela Ehlers, and I represent South Dakota's conservation districts. For the benefit of the audience, I have the handouts you have in front of you so that they can also see what we are talking about. Each of you has a handout in front of you that provides two examples of segments of river bodies that are not eligible on the state list. The state list is a list that was prepared by DNR that shows segments that do qualify under the current law. But they are in segments. It is not necessarily the full water body. Each county that you have in front of you has two maps. You have a map of your lakes and a map of your streams. And I put the website on those handouts so that you can see, you can go to that website and find the maps for every county in the state. As you examine your county maps, you may find, looking at them, streams or lakes that you would consider for eligibility. As Senator Frerichs mentioned, the first example we have for you is in Roberts County. It is the segment of the North Fork of the Whetstone River, north of South Dakota Highway 15, and it's that area that's done in red. I apologize, or it's orange. For those of you that are red-green colorblind, I apologize. But you can see the area there that the South Dakota Highway is an arbitrary boundary for the current. The second map I have for you is this example we used in the House. And it's your second page, and it is in Lincoln County. Lake Alvin is on the state list, as well as the segment of water body from Lake Alvin to the Big Sioux River. However, the tributary leading into Lake Alvin, which is Nine Mile Creek, is not on the list and therefore not eligible. Lake Alvin is a state recreation area and a public swimming, and several times a year, it seems, in the summer, it is closed for high bacterial levels. By applying riparian buffer strips on that Nine Mile Creek, we could potentially lower the bacterial levels and alleviate some of the issues with the public swimming beach on Lake Alvin. I would point out to you that the House Bill 1119 is permissive legislation. It gives the counties a local option to add, by resolution, lakes, rivers, and streams as eligible for property tax reductions and in the environmental benefits of this program. Since it is a resolution process, the decision may be referred to a public vote. South Dakota's conservation districts and water development districts are committed to sharing our experience by providing education and outreach to the counties to assist them in selecting water bodies for listing if they choose to do so. Riparian buffers are an effective tool we can use to improve water quality in our lakes and streams. We encourage you to give your counties this opportunity to expand incentives for their use. And I would stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Jay Gilbertson, the manager of the East Dakota Water Development District, and I, too, rise in support of House Bill 1119. As Senator Ferrix and Ms. Ehlers pointed out, the current program, in order to be eligible, you have to be on an established state list, and South Dakota Department of Environment and Natural Resources created this list. It serves a number of specific purposes, and we really don't want to tinker with it. So opening that list up to make the adjustments that people might want is a really bad idea. And so we've come up with what is in front of you, again, as noted, allowing that local action. Again, I think particularly in Lincoln County, some excellent examples. But if you look at your own personal map, and they're all would-be opportunities. And again, it's not a mandate. It's an option that's presented to the county. If the interest is there, they could do that. From a practical standpoint, the very modest reduction in taxes that is present is going to have a local impact on the county and the school district, so better to have those folks make the call and not. In its first year, if you followed the program at all, it worked sort of mostly. It didn't really have a champion out there promoting it. We had, I think, a total of 42 parcels that were brought forward for consideration, 27 of which were accepted. A little under 300 total acres across the state. Not a great start, but for a brand new program, certainly understandable. In order to address this and to promote both the provisions of 1119 in the existing program, my organization, the East Dakota Water Development District, will be dedicating staff this summer to work with counties in our area, 10 counties along the eastern side of the state. In Minnehaha County alone, we've currently promoted a little over 1,500 acres in buffers, exactly zero of which are enrolled in this program. And chances are pretty good that about 95% of those acres would qualify for a reduction. It's just a matter of getting in touch with the landowners and working with them, and we fully intend to do that. As Ms. Ehlers noted as well, we're going to be working, the districts and the conservation districts, working with the counties to work develop some uniform programs, some uniform forms for getting the information out there. We don't need every county inventing their own resolution. We don't need every county inventing their own process for this. There's not a big reduction in savings, and to date, we've probably spent more money promoting the program than the programs actually save people. But in the end result, what's important is we get these buffers established. And they are excellent ways of preserving, if not restoring, water quality along riparian areas across the state, and we'd like to see this move forward. I'll stop at that time, let the further proponents speak, but we'll stand by for questions. Thank you very much.
Are there any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Bill Smith with the South Dakota Department of Agriculture. We stand here in support of the bill. It provides another tool for landowners to go out and establish conservation on the ground, and it's voluntary. So I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Margo Northrup. I'm an attorney and peer and a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of Rural Water Systems. And we certainly are interested in water quality, and we think this is just one more tool that can help citizens save a little money and also be good for the environment. So we ask that you support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Paul Lepisto, a registered lobbyist representing the South Dakota Division of the Isaac Walton League of America. Brief history on our organization. We've been concerned with water quality in the United States and obviously here in South Dakota for nearly 100 years. We, as Senator Frerichs mentioned this morning, the other organizations that have been involved in supporting this type of legislation, we've been involved, remember back in the days with Senator Peterson, the bill that was passed last year we thought was a good first step. This, to us, is a very logical next step, and we urge your enthusiastic support.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents? Are there any further proponents? If none, are there any opponents? Are there any opponents? If none, we will waive the sponsor rebuttal and we'll move on to questions by the committee. Does the committee have any questions? Senator Sohol.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm not sure who to direct the question to, but is there an anticipation of what the reduction of tax dollars would be?
Mr. Chairman, Jay Gilbertson with the East Dakota Water Development District. Senator Sohol, what I can offer as an example is what happened in Brookings County last year. There were a total of four parcels, about 29 acres in total enrolled. The total property tax savings for those 29 acres amounted to $279, give or take. Now, spread over the value of the county, that's a pretty modest reduction.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any further questions? If there are no further questions at this time, we will close public testimony and bring it back to the committee for discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Otten.
Would move do pass.
Second. It's been moved by Senator Otten and seconded by Senator Youngberg. Do pass. Is there further discussion by the committee on that motion?
I just felt that this is a next logical step in where we needed to be.
Any further discussion? Senator Sohol.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I just think this is another important move on protecting our waters, and wanted to ask the tax question because that's just a, you know, small investment in how we can improve water quality in the state of South Dakota, and really appreciate the bill being brought forward by the good senator.
Senator Frerichs.
Well, thank you, and I certainly can't claim much of the credit on this issue. I want to thank, as I mentioned, you know, Senator Peterson, the governor's office, and obviously all these organizations that come forward here today. It's obviously a lot more enjoyable when we can work together on water issues, water quality, and obviously land practices, conservation, everything else. The one thing I would share, and I want to thank the committees for, you know, seriousness of the issue, I think we should look for ways to, and that was mentioned a little bit by some of the proponents, but we need to help out our local county assessors just a little bit more on this, because there is a burden to them to get this kind of the software all set and some more things like that. But they also are working with their, like in the case up north, we have the first district of local governments, and they've helped them out a lot too. So there are ways, and to answer a little bit more, just even for rough figuring, some of this ag land may have, or, you know, around $12 an acre of tax. You could see in that $3 to $4 or wherever, you know, it may land as far as reduction, maybe even a little more. But obviously it all depends on where that land is valued. So the numbers that Mr. Gilbertson shared, I believe that as well. Certainly different examples across the state. But I ask for the support and thank you.
Is there any further discussion by the committee? I would have a comment, and that is that I like this legislation in the fact that it's definitely puts it back to local control, to the county commissioner's discretion, and so I believe it's good legislation. At this time, I will ask the secretary to call the roll.
Senators Ewing.
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Youngberg?
Aye.
Ferex?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Clums excused. Kamak?
Aye.
The vote's unanimous. Aye.
I would move to put place House Bill 1119 on consent.
At this time, we'll move on to House Bill 1148, and it's to revise certain provisions regarding the eligibility to serve on the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission. Welcome, Senator Peterson.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Peterson.
You were just talking about a Senator Peterson, but he's not here right now. So, Kent Peterson, State Representative, District 19 from Salem. I'm bringing before you today House Bill 1148. Which I think is a common sense update to the eligibility requirements for the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission. The commission currently is made up of 8 members, at least 4 of which shall be farmers. Current statute states the farmer must reside on the farm, be engaged in agriculture, deriving at least 2/3 of their gross yearly incomes from a crop or livestock production, or both. The update I'm asking you to consider today is to add the words, or working primarily on a farm. Here's what that means. If someone farms but lives in town or on an acreage off their land, they currently do not qualify to serve on the commission. The change I'm asking you to make would be to make them eligible as well, as long as they meet the other current requirements of being engaged in agriculture, deriving at least 2/3 of their gross annual income from crop or livestock production, or both. I don't think a farmer is any less of a farmer or not qualified to serve on this commission because of where they sleep at night. And this bill, in my opinion, is being brought to increase the potential pool of people that can be considered for this commission, and I think it's a reasonable approach. I would appreciate your favorable consideration, and I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. Grace Beck, Deputy Policy Advisor in the Governor's Office. And I stand in support of House Bill 1148. Part of what I do in the Governor's Office is manage appointments to the boards and commissions, including the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission. This legislation will not impact any appointments that Governor Dugard makes, but it is good policy. Currently, commissioners that fill the farmer slots must reside on the land and derive 2/3 of their income from. This excludes full-time farmers that reside in town, such as the sponsor, as well as farmers that reside on an acreage that is not contiguous with their land. Whether it is due to improved technologies or family considerations, we're seeing that many farmers, especially young farmers, do not necessarily reside on the land. This legislation does not impact the requirement to derive 2/3 of his or her income from the land, so this individual would still be a full-time farmer. It simply allows for more full-time farmers to be considered to serve on the commission. This is a good piece of legislation, and I urge you to support House Bill 1148.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Mitch Richter, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Farmers Union. So you got farmers in the bill. We should be here saying that many of our members are good, clear thinkers and would be interested in serving on the commission. And with the many of the bills that come before the legislature that the Game, Fish, and Parks and the commission bring, we'd like to certainly be at the table if that's a possibility. So we'd encourage your expansion of the rules on this and have you support the bill.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents?
Good morning. Mike Held, South Dakota Farm Bureau. We rise in support of 1148. Many of our 15,000 families that belong to the Farm Bureau are multi-family operations and multi-generational. And in lots of instances, one or more of those parties does not live on the farmstead. As Representative Peterson said so well, they ought to be eligible to serve on the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission also. Thank you.
Are there any further proponents? Are there any further proponents? If none, are there any opponents? Are there any opponents? Seeing none, we will waive the sponsor's rebuttal and we'll move to questions by the committee. Does the committee have any questions? Seeing none, we will close public testimony and move it back to the committee for discussion and or action. Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move due pass on HB 1148.
Second. It's been seconded by Senator Otten. Is there any comments on that motion? Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I want to thank Representative Peterson for bringing a worthwhile bill. And obviously, we want to make sure that we adapt to the changing times that are out there, but obviously, as he mentioned, there still is that tie and connection to the land and the requirement that they have two-thirds of their income, so it just makes good policy.
Senator Sohol.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, almost 20 years ago, I was involved in an effort that was looking at what's going to happen with the nursing workforce. We were actually just thinking about what scenarios in South Dakota are starting to transpire, and as part of that, we were looking at the demographics of what was happening with the population, where were they moving, where would we need to provide workforce. And as part of that, we really clearly could see that we were probably going to end up in a situation where the family farm would be like a reverse commute, that the holdings would become such that because the town structure was not necessarily robust enough for the farming community and families of having a church, you know, and we're seeing this play out, that we don't have pastors that are coming to the local community, and the schools are too small, and just other opportunities, that with technology, that we would end up in a situation that was completely reversing how people used to farm the land. And I think that this bill is really a reflection of that demographic and that cultural change and shift in our state coming forward, and is a good bill to reflect representation in relationships that are made on this commission.
Thank you for that. Are there any other comments? If there's no other comments at this time, the motion is due pass on House Bill 1148, and made by Senator Frerichs, seconded by Senator Otten. The Secretary will call the roll. All those in favor, aye. All those opposed, nay.
Senators Ewing.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Heinert.
Aye.
Klum.
Aye.
Kamak.
Aye.
The vote's unanimous.
The vote is unanimous. Senator Klum moves consent. Senator Youngberg seconded. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House Bill 1148 will go to the floor on the consent calendar. We'll move on to House Bill 1214, and that's to revise certain provisions regarding the State Conservation Commission and conservation districts.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Ag Committee. I was picked to bring this bill before you this morning. And the title is An Act to Revise Certain Provisions Regarding the State Conservation Commission and Conservation Districts. And I think the gist of the majority of the bill is a style and form changes to conform to LRC standards. If you look on page 2, line 13, it inserts the word conservation to clarify the type of district, style, and form change to remove language to conform, again, to LRC standards. Page 3, section 2, it does not change the composition of the Conservation Commission or its appointment process. It more accurately describes the membership of the Conservation Commission as appointed by the governor. The current 9-person membership is composed of one at-large member, one member representing the Municipal League, one member representing the Water Development Districts, two members representing the forest industry, and 4 members representing the conservation districts. Also on page 3, line 14, it removes farmer member language since the term is not defined in the chapter and does not describe a conservation district supervisor. For 80 years, 20% of all conservation district supervisors represented the urban areas, so farmer members does not accurately describe what a conservation district supervisor is. As well on page 3, line 15, inserts four members who are or have been conservation district supervisors as a more accurate description instead of a farmer member. And I think I'll leave it at that, and Ms. Ehlers will give you some more information on this bill. I would ask for your due pass motion.
Are there any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee again. My name is Angela Ehlers, and I do represent South Dakota's conservation districts. As Senator Ewing so ably mentioned, a lot of the changes, 14 of the 22 in the bill, are the style and form changes to conform to LRC standards. And I do want to thank Mr. Botts and the LRC staff for bringing all those forward to make sure that our law continues to conform with current standards. This law, as Senator Ewing pointed out, was passed in 1937, and it hasn't been touched to a great deal in a lot of places, so it did need updating. We did, on page 2, lines 15 to 21, remove the definition that was made obsolete with the passage of Senate Bill 78 last year. If you recall, we changed the election process of conservation district supervisors to be a registered voter, rather than having specific categories that no longer adequately apply to what conservation districts do anymore. Senator Ewing pointed out quite a few of the non-style and form changes. On page 4, line 2, you'll see the word 3 inserted. And what happens there is right now the Municipal League currently is required to submit 3 nominations to the governor for his consideration, as well as the water development districts. The law did not require conservation districts to make a nomination of 3, although we always assumed, since the others did, we had to do it too. So this just puts into the statute so that we also conform with the requirement of 3. As I say, if it isn't in the law, it probably doesn't exist. This makes it part of the law. Page 4, lines 7 to 10, we take the language from Section 2, line 16, and include it in this section, so all the language describing who is eligible for the Conservation District Supervisor Representatives is included in one section. Page 5, line 1 to 2, removes unnecessary language because the law already states all interested parties, including occupiers of lands, are currently allowed to attend the hearings. The rest of it, again, as Senator Ewing pointed out, are basically style and form changes. We would appreciate your consideration of this bill, and I stand by for any questions if you have them. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Bill Smith, South Dakota Department of Agriculture, and we're here in support of the bill as well. We work with the conservation districts and the Conservation Commission closely, and these changes will help with interpretations of the laws. So, thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents? Are there any further proponents? If none, are there any opponents? Are there any opponents? If none, we will waive the sponsor's rebuttal and we'll move on to questions by the committee. Seeing none, we will close public testimony and move it back to the committee for discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Monroe.
I'd move House Bill 1214, Senate floor due pass.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Monroe, seconded by Senator Youngberg. Do pass recommendation. Are there any comments on this motion?
Nothing big, Mr. Chairman. Just that we're make things better now. Every bill so far except one.
Senator Monroe, we need to confine the comments to this bill that we're considering.
I apologize, Mr. Chairman.
Any further comments that are appropriate? If there's no further comments at this time, we would ask the Secretary to call the roll. The motion is due pass, and those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say nay.
Senators Ewing.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Heinert. Aye. Klum.
Aye.
Kamak.
Aye.
The vote's unanimous.
The vote is unanimous. Senator Otten.
Would move to put 1214 on consent.
It's been moved by Senator Otten, seconded by Senator Youngberg. All those in favor of consent, aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the House Bill 1214 will move on to the House floor on the consent calendar. And I believe that that concludes the business we have before us this morning, Senate Bill 210. If someone had missed that announcement earlier, it will be deferred to a committee meeting next week. At this time, I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Personal privilege, quick.
Certainly.
In the back row over there, we have a few kids who look pretty familiar, a few former interns from last year. They're still kids. Yeah. So, welcome back, guys.
Yeah, welcome. Yes, Senator Fergs.
I just had a question. Are we going to have the DENR briefing at all? I was curious about how... I know I asked the Secretary, and he said he had one prepared, but then it might be out of date. But I guess I would request that they do their briefing yet, as the other agencies have.
The answer is I will. We will inquire about that, see if that's possible.
Thank you.
Senator Klum moves to adjourn. A second. By Senator Youngberg. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, we're adjourned.